Do you ever get discouraged when you have low turnout or low views when you're doing your physical or digital ministry? Well, we're going to talk about that in today's episode.
Welcome to the Vlog Pastors Podcast, a podcast all about the stories and strategies of sharing God's love in the digital world. Now, here are two pastors that love to put a camera in their face and walk around in public. They are the Maverick and Goose of digital ministry, Jared Brown and Joshua Verwers.
Welcome, everybody, to the Vlog Pastors Podcast. My name is Joshua Verwers.
And I'm Jared Brown, and this is episode 54, not 2, 54.
That's correct. We had a mild discussion last week about whether it was episode 2, whether this would be episode 2 of season 2, or whether this was going to be episode 54.
I conceded.
And
I feel like it's basically a new season. I feel like this is something different, but it's kind of the same.
It's the same. Right. We've never really had a consistent format the entire time up to this point. We don't really know what's going on any given day. As Gerald Undone would say, it's mostly nonsense.
It's absolutely nonsense.
But even though it does have a new feel to it this season, these episodes, this second year, do you like what we did there? Even with that, the thing that is basically the reason we're just doing a running tally of it, I didn't want to go back through Anchor and edit the titles for all 52 episodes, which, by the way, Jared, I did find out that we were missing like 15 episodes that I didn't even upload the audio on. So I wound up getting the audio uploaded for most of them. I think I have 3 more to get. So they were just streams that we did. And for some reason, I never uploaded those. Shame on me.
Oops.
Yep. Which, by the way, whether you guys are listening to this in your favorite podcast player, whether you are watching the video podcast version on the YouTube channel or on Spotify, we just want to thank you for joining us. And for those that are joining live, what are they supposed to do? Do you remember, Jared?
No.
I guess if they're live, chat with us. Let us know. You guys actually get to help us throughout the show.
Exactly.
Because we want that. We want the interaction. You guys that are especially live here, when we go live every Wednesday at
10:30.
When we do go live, you leave in the comments, you leave in the questions, you leave in the suggestions, and you're helping to shape the show, shape the direction of this, which today's episode actually comes from a comment that we had received. I believe it was from John Hayes, and he had actually said, "Do you ever get discouraged when you have low turnout on a Sunday when it comes to preaching?" And of course, in true Vlog Pastor style, I thought, why don't we just expand that from not only when we're preaching on Sundays, but also when we're making vlogs.
Views.
So it's the views and it's the pews. It's like, what is that going to do? How does that affect us? Does it affect us? So I think first off, what I'd like to do, Jared, is I'd like to maybe address exactly what John's question was. Let's go straight to the church, the physical church context of this. Let's start to unpack this a little bit. And does it affect us? If it affects us, how does it affect us? What do we do with it? And then we will pivot over to the vlog, the video side of it. So I'll let you run with this first. Does a low turnout on a Sunday ever discourage you when preaching?
Absolutely not.
Is there sarcasm in there? Because I mean, your face, your face is giving me the impression that you're trying to call those things that be not as though they are.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's discouragement. We're people, we're humans. And it's odd because it's not necessarily what you would think, you know, Joshua. It's not like, I'm discouraged because people didn't show up to hear my sermon, and there was a lot of prep that went involved. It was into it. I think it's because we're pastors, and we know that the safest place to be, the best place to be, the most innovative place to be, the most loving place to be, the most transformative place to be, is in church. And when your people who you're walking life out with are at a baseball game, are sleeping in, stayed out too late the night before drinking, are, you know, life stuff. I have family reunion, got prioritized, and so we didn't make it, and so-and-so's down for it. All the reasons that always come up as to why they aren't there on a Sunday, it bothers you. It bothers you. It bothers me. Maybe it doesn't bother you. I don't speak for you because we'll hear your answer, but it bothers me, man. It bothers me because I know that God has handcrafted something that he wants to communicate to his people. And some of that's done in worship. Some of that's done in prayer time. Some of that's done in the sermon. But I know for my part, not thinking about who needs to hear this, I know there's an audience for it. And sometimes some of the best messages have been delivered to an audience of a few. And there's a part of me that knows that God is speaking exactly to who he needs to speak to. I get it. But there's also a part of me that kind of gets disappointed and goes, are you kidding me? Like, Lord, that was such a beautiful nugget, a revelatory moment where we met with you and you told us your heart about a matter. And that could have really been beneficial to, and then your human mind starts going, blah, 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 blah. All the right. people who yeah. are struggling with this very issue right now. And this was freedom for so many. And so it's like, yeah, yeah, that's a little bit. And then on the human side, there is a synergy. There is something that happens when a church, and now just to give you guys some context, we are a kind of a migratory church right now. We're meeting in a building that's not our own. We're renting it. We're looking for where God would have us, you know, be rooted more long term. Actually, we're not. That's a video coming up in the future. But we're a mobile people. So set up, tear down, the whole nine. And I understand that it's not about the place. It's not about filling the space because we're in this monstrous banquet hall and we're a small group of believers, smallish, depending on what you know. Some people say small. The reason I'm caveating that is because some people say small and they mean like 200-300 people. Nah, like small, for real small. So, Josh, you know what I mean. Like when you get into that space and the core of your congregation, the flock that you are helping shepherd that you've been entrusted with, right, that are under your care and tutelage, when they aren't there in mass, you feel it. And when they are, you feel it. And yeah, it's something very special that the Lord does when, like, you guys are all there receiving at the same time. It's just such an explosion of energy that is missing. And for me, I have not been able to string together the correlation as to why the pews are empty or why the pews are full on any given Sunday. And that provides friction in my own life. It's like, is it something I just want to be, it'll transfer to the digital space. I just want to be faithful. Right. Now, he's the God of the harvest. He's the God of increase. He's the one who handles all of that. I want to be faithful. I want to put my hand to the plow and not look back. So when that happens and there are empty pews, my thinking is not him, not what's off, you know, what's wrong right. on his end.
Yeah, his exactly. End. Yeah.
What's going on my end? How can I better communicate? Did I miss an opportunity to connect with somebody this week? Was it just simply, you know, an off time when people are out of town on vacations, that sort of thing? Or is there something that I can address that would better serve this people on behalf of my king?
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, yes, not speaking for me, but speaking for me, and you'll get an amen for me that it is discouraging. I don't think I could be human and not be discouraged when you show up and it's like, oh, am I the only one that's showing up? And I have had that Sunday before. Like, because up here in Iowa, we get lots of winter weather, and mm-hmm. And we don't call off church and close down church that often. When we do, it's typically because, and I've kind of referred to this way. Our old idea used to be we would cancel service if schools were canceling when we had midweek, or if the state patrol is saying travel's not advised. Like, these are your transportation professionals, if you will. And when they're saying, don't be on the road unless you don't have to be on the road, don't be on the road unless you have to be on the road. So that's kind of where we default. I know there are churches that never close the doors, and there was a time when we didn't do that. And I had kind of told the people, hey, we're going to be here no matter what. Somebody will be here every single Sunday. If you don't show up, that's fine. And then I noticed that as the weather was getting bad, there were people that were faithful to show up no matter what. And then there was that Sunday that I was literally the only one. Like, the roads were sketchy enough that I didn't even let my wife and kids go. And I was like, if I wind up in a ditch, I'd rather it be just me and not y'all. So you're going to stay home. I'll go. And I showed up. There was nobody there. And I went ahead and preached to empty pews, literally empty pews. Because I figured, you know what? It's a great opportunity to practice my preaching. That's amazing. I might as well. In that moment, that wasn't discouraging because I knew that there was the reason. It's when you don't know there's a reason. And when God has really put the burden for that message on your heart, it's like, He wants me to deliver this message. He's been speaking this to me so I can then let Him speak through me for these people. And that's what I'm trying to do. And then you get there, and yes, our human nature is like, oh man, this one, like, this is a bullseye message for that person, and that person never shows up, you know, for those messages. And then there's others that it's like, I don't know who this is for, but I know a lot of people are going to get blessed by this. And then you're there, and it's like, oh, okay, so we've got 10 in attendance, and that's including myself, my wife, our four kids, my grandma, and my mother, and my uncle. And then we had the one running our sound booth. It was like, we got 10. And it's like, and we've had those moments. That's where it is. Yeah. It's like, that gets discouraging. So yeah, we're talking small church. We're talking small church. That gets discouraging. It does, because there's a moment in the humanity of me that says, well, maybe I should just stick this one back in the recesses and pull it out when everybody actually shows up and call an audible. But like you said, the thing that kind of has gotten me through that is when I realize I'm being faithful to what He's called me to do. I've done what I'm supposed to do. You know, like, the simplest part of our faith in Christ is, if He is our Lord, that means He is to lead us. So our primary responsibility is to obey Christ. And it's like, and I'm called to minister His word. So as long as I've done that, I'm good. And if it didn't hit, do I really think that I'm the only vessel that could deliver the message to the person that needed that message?
Right.
That's where I've got to get some of myself out of it and say, you know what? If God can use me, He can use anything to deliver this. And as long as I am faithful to what He's called me to do, I'm good.
Yeah.
But yeah, the discouragement is real, and it does get in. I will also say, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but the more I've done it, the more I preach, the longer I've been in pastoral ministry, the less I get discouraged. It almost comes to one of those, because I've identified, like, those messages that are really burning on my heart, and it's like, oh, this one's going to light the church on fire, which means nobody's going to show up.
Yeah.
And then I get excited about it rather than being discouraged, because I'm ready to count, like, the three people besides my family that shows up, and I'm like, who's going to get on fire today?
Yeah.
So I start to get excited, and then I'm pleasantly surprised when more showed up, and I was like, wait, I thought the opposition always comes in and keeps people from church when I've got these messages.
Right.
Was somebody sleeping on his job and forgot to oppose the people? What are your thoughts? The more you do, the more you preach, the more you've been in pastoral ministry, does the discouragement lessen?
I think it pivots. I think there's always a layer of the onion that God's after. I think He's in a continual breaking of our pride and self-reliance and those types of things. And so when, you know, you show up and there are people that there aren't, I mean, sometimes even in that, it's kind of silly, because it's like, well, are these 10 people worth it? Are these, you know, you have 100 the next time. Well, is it more significant of a message that I'm preaching? That, you know, it just gets weird. And so I've found that you're talking about maturity. As we go along, I'm more transformed by the message that he's put on my heart. I should probably caveat and anybody who's listening and make sure that people understand. We're talking shorthand. We're not talking about a good sermon that is static. It's an interpretation, a good exegesis of the word, you know, the word of God that was brought. Yes, it is that, but it's also a timely message for a season,
right,
and for a specific group of people. That's why you and I have already said, you know, a lot of our stuff doesn't go up online because it is for these people. It's from the lips of God for these people right here, right now. And so that's where, like, it can get discouraging, but then you wonder, well, he's already transformed my heart. Like, I'm on fire about this thing. And who's to say that these 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, whoever it depends on, show up on it, who's to say that those people aren't going to catch the same fire, like you're saying, and just run with it through the cities? And then, like, how would you even stack that and evaluate who's going to get it and who's not going to get it? And so in the breaking of that, it's like, oh, I'm almost honored when – let's just use your example. When 10 people show up, it's the same 10. Well,
yeah,
but it's the same God who turned the whole world upside down through 12 people. And I'm honored to be able to deliver this living message to these people who I, in my eyes, maybe they haven't done anything with it last week, but maybe he wants to do something different with it this week. It's just another level of breaking where I see, oh, come on, Lord, really? Like, same group, what are they going to do with it? He's saying, yeah, look at what I can do with this. This is the break. This is the turning point. And that whole process over and over and over again has been humbling, because my pastoral side, here's where we get broken, the evaluation process. The only way to evaluate in the Western American church is, I'm sorry for the language, but butts and seats and per capita giving. There are more people there than there were the last time? Are you growing? Are they being discipled and they're making disciples and they're making disciples? So are there more people coming into the congregation, and is the giving maintaining to show spiritual health? Now, there are some indicators to that, but they're not the only ones.
Right.
And that is the frustrating part, because it's like, is there growth? Oh, you better believe it. God is lighting us up every week. The westernized pastor in me goes, yeah, but, you know, there's only one or two new families. And Timber Ridge gets 40, 50 new people a week. And I need to figure out what they're doing. Or I'm using actual names here. Or, you know, Lingleville has caught a wind of the Spirit that is like, it's – people are coming from miles around to get in the worship service type of thing. Like, well, maybe, you know, maybe we should pack up and go over there type of thing. When it's like, no, God has not released us from the ministry that he's called us to.
Yeah.
Be faithful. Every time we go into prayer about this, it's like, should we shut down and just, no, be faithful, be faithful, be faithful. So there's always layers. And the longer we go with this, I feel like the more we're going to understand of his nature. And we're going to see, I made a video a long time ago, it's one of my favorites, the long train of ministry, the long slow train. Yeah. There's the bullet train that some of them are on. It's like, whoa, and there were salvations and miracles and healings. And we do get to see that. But I would say the majority of my ministry has been the generational transfer of a better life to a better life, of knowing Jesus in deeper ways, and like the long-term process of having strongholds broken off and knowing somebody 10 years later from when you started and going, that is not in the ballpark of the same person that they were when they got started. And those feeding off of those things rather than butts in seat and per capita giving.
Yeah. And it is hard because we have those physical metrics that are out there, and we are a spiritual being living in a physical world.
Yeah.
And so all of our physical nature wants to look at physical metrics, the things that we can see. As a people of faith, we're told to walk by faith, not by sight, not by what we can see. But that struggle is real. And it can become discouraging when everybody is out there and they're giving the best advice and the best practices, and they're using terms like, oh, it's not about church growth, it's about church health,
mm-hmm.
which then puts across and conveys this message that if you're not getting these metrics, you're not healthy. If you're not growing, then you're dying. And it's like, but how are you defining that? And what are you looking at? And I think one of the things that really started to help me, I'm going to kick myself in the pants because I can't even remember the actual scripture reference. I want to say it's like 1 Thessalonians 4:11, and I may be completely off base with that, but it's mind your own affairs. And I think it's the New Living Translation that says, mind your own business. And to me, that when I got the revelation of that word, mind your own business, it was then looking at, okay, what has God actually called me to do? What has He commissioned our church to do? What is our ministry supposed to do? I then don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm going to mind my own business and I'm going to stay in my lane, because if I'm following the path that He has laid out before me, I have to be in my lane. If I get on somebody else's lane, I'm on their path, which means I'm in error. And that's where, you know, you talk about, yes, we're looking for a spiritual growth. Everybody's looking for a spiritual growth. And for a spiritual growth, it's hard to see the physical signs of that. You can, but it's hard to see them. And it's really hard to see that when there's not added numbers daily. And we see the scripture saying, but the Lord added to their numbers daily in Acts. And it's like, well, where's the adding to our numbers? What does God define as that? How is He referring to that? And is that actually the ministry for us? Or was that just the ministry for that early church? Am I supposed to be a replication of that? Or am I supposed to be more of a product of that? Am I supposed to have a different slant and a different variation? And that just takes, I mean, that takes some, I think, self-awareness from just a personal level as a leader of a ministry, but also in a ministry, in an organizational context of a local community, we have to have an awareness of this is what He's called us to do. And a lot of our taglines and our catchphrases and mission statements, they sound very familiar and they are very similar, but what does that actually look like? And how does that actually break down? Knowing that has helped me because, I mean, we've had those other ministers that come in. And I remember a time when I like, oh, yeah, we're a small church. And then if people would say, well, how many are you running? As many away as I possibly can. You know, it's like we try to, because I just didn't want to answer. And now it's a case of, so how many have you got in your church? It depends on the Sunday, but typically, 25, 30. Kind of setting in there. And it used to be a case where it was like typically, and I didn't give the typical answer. I gave like the high answer.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, no, it's typically, because to me, it's like, I don't really care anymore. Like we've got who is there and that's what it is. And I'm just supposed to keep doing what I do. If God ever says, hey, it's time to close up shop. Sure. But that'll be when we have finished what He's called us to do. Are we finished yet?
I'm going to say something that's kind of crazy, but hopefully you can hear my heart behind it. Thank God for COVID. Thank God for COVID. I mean, it has done such an amazing thing for the church and for the ministers. I mean, almost like we grew a backbone again and got back after what God had called us to in the first place. And everybody who was there to like check a box, adios. They're no longer there checking a box. People who wanted to, and I hesitate because this is an online thing, people who would rather, fellowship and do whatever online. Okay, cool. What's been the 2 year turnout of that? Are they more spiritually connected? Do they meet with one another in their homes? Are they breaking bread together? Are they more spiritually mature? Let's be honest. I'm willing to bet that they're not, if their predominant intake was online. And it's just been like, such a good, and it's overused, but such a good reset, man, to get back to doing what God's called you to do. And I appreciate what you're saying about like knowing your role in the community, because that has saved us in a way, from losing our minds over the last couple months. Right. For anybody who doesn't know, we heard a term a while back in prayer, burn the ships, and we knew that meant sell our building and just go after the voice of the Lord, do whatever he told us to do in the community. And one of our spiritual leaders in the community said, hey, you guys are like the central nervous system. Y'all hear from the Lord, and like you relay that information in real time, and we're adjusting. We're leading this community based off of what you guys are hearing. And that's not a prideful thing. That is a scary thing to make sure to run it through people who like-minded people, you know, yep. hearing people, other believers, make sure that the leading, governing, at least spiritual body of our city has the appropriate info supplied, and knowing that that's our place of seeking the Lord, whether there's 100 of us or whether there's 10 of us. You know, that's our responsibility. And that has been such a huge burden off of our shoulders that we're not trying to build a mega church or even a church of any size. We're trying to become an obedient people. Right. I think that's really taken, I mean, if you want to transition it over, but that's really also been a part of the channel as well. And it's funny how like it all just kind of evolves and molds into one. It's just who you are and who God's called you to be. And it's your ministry. It's your YouTube channel. Right. It's your relationship with your wife.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, I want to get to some questions or some comments here from the chat, and then we'll run into the digital ministry aspect of this when it comes to YouTube, when it comes to the content that we're producing. John is saying, it's one, I know that it's a divine appointment for the ones that are there, but I lose focus for a period when I turn around and I'm just like, why? I totally relate. Like, I hope you're hearing us, that's what we do relate to. It's that question. Why are they not here? And like, if somebody had let me know, ahead of time, they're like, hey, we're going on vacation. We're going to be gone for, a few weeks. I know why they're not going to be there. It's the ones that I anticipated to be there that weren't there. Why? So,
We actually, what's fascinating about that is we used to do a briefing. So we had family time beforehand. It's beautiful when you're small enough that you can celebrate birthdays and family time. And, and we would say, oh, so such and such family's out of town. They went on vacation, and so family's out of town, and they're visiting family over in somewhere, and so and so said that they were sick this week, and they're not going to be here. And eventually, like, you went through this whole list of the people who weren't there, and the people who were there were like, hey, what am I, chopped liver? Like, I'm here. Let's do this.
Right.
Why do you feel the need? They gave us the feedback. Why do you feel the need to list off the people that aren't here? Like, we appreciate the family, the familial connection of like, okay, they're somewhere, we know about them. But it was almost like we were giving an apology as to why the folks who normally are here are not here. And so we're just going to we're going to go on about our business, but the full group is not here today. So everybody knows. It was like, who are you doing that for?
Yeah.
So we've really,
the crazy part about that is that's a small church ministry thing. Like, you don't see big churches that are doing that. You don't see the mega churches that are doing that. At the same time, here's another one here's another one that small churches are horrible about. Hey, I just want to make sure everybody knows that we've got visitors coming in. It was like, why are you calling attention to people? Maybe they just wanted to sneak in the back. Maybe that's why they prefer to go to the bigger churches, because they are not wanting it to be all about them. They wanted to find some place where it was all about him. That's like a big no-no. It's one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to church. I'm like, stop announcing when we have guests or when we have visitors. Or it's like, oh, it's good to see so-and-so back. They haven't been here for a while. Everybody already knew that. Like, we didn't need to draw attention to it. It was like, let's just go through. John did say that when it comes to that feeling of losing focus, disappointment, discouragement, he says, it feels like I'm having to release it before I can move forward. And I will say that when I say I've typically got to the point, typically more often than not, when there is a low turnout, it doesn't affect me as much as it used to. Typically, it still does occasionally. And when it does, I'm right on with you, where it's a case that I'll go in and I feel the frustration, the discouragement, the anxiety almost starts to creep in, and I have to go off in the other room. There are times I'll even go outside of the building. I've even had to go to the car and then just kind of set and refocus. And it's like, I've got to be about what I'm supposed to do.
Exactly.
I can't think about the other stuff.
That is a great ping that I'm too involved. Like, this is about me somehow. Because, and I'm not speaking for you guys, just for me. It's like, why am I here? I am here to be in his presence and to communicate to this group who he's chosen and he's brought them here. He's called them out of bed, out of whatever it was, to be here and receive this message. And that, you know, that's his deal. We've laid out the fleeces. We've laid out the invitations. We've invited everybody who's supposed to be here. They know when the church service happens. We've been praying all week. And you guys who watch my channel, y'all know that we have a rev table. So we've honed out what the entire body has heard, and it is now presented on a platter. These are the words of the living God for us right now, in the context of community, in the context of biblical understanding. Like, here it is. And if I start getting discouraged as to the turnout, to me, it's a real flag and indicator that, like, oh, good. Okay. All right, Lord, something needs to die in me, because you've set the table. And if you've got a smile on your face, then I need to have a smile on mine, and I need to come into submission in a greater way. It's just me. Because I feel you, John. That's an early warning for me to go, oh, mm-hmm. There's a little flesh in there, something.
That's good. And it's great to have that awareness, to recognize this is the flesh in me. Like you said, Jared, that portion of me needs to die off. I need to, that thing needs to be up on that cross. I need to be presenting this flesh as dead, a living sacrifice moment, which means it's going to be up there sacrificing, kicking and screaming because it's still living. But that's fine. It's got to be that way. Augie says, when we put our importance on numbers only, it can become discouraging, but it's important for us to remember just one to hear the message. Oh, yeah. Like the importance of it just being one. You know, like when you talk about like Jesus with the 99 lost sheep, and how he would leave the 99 to go to the one, that shows us the importance of one. So if there's only one person there, that moment where it was only me there, I remind our people this all the time. When I'm preaching this message, my ears are closer to my mouth than your ears are. So I get to hear this message first. It's like, and I know that God loves me enough to make me hear the own words that are coming out of my mouth to teach me something.
And isn't it fascinating? The pastors out there will understand this. Floating coffee hand. The pastors will understand this part, in that, like, the things that he chooses to say through your lips and the things that he chooses not to, that were almost just for you in the prep time. That's a whole conversation in and of itself, but to me that's astounding, because you know what was prepped and you know what needs to come out, and the things that he accentuates and pulls you back on, like you don't feel his spirit in, like moving as much on, and you're like, oh, that was just for me. Or the things that you say and then you find out the next week where you're like, yeah, that was for them, totally drove that home, and then he reminds you of it, and you're like, just that whole concept to me, that's the beauty of delivering the word, being entrusted with that. It's like, oh, you have a very tailored invitation or communication for these guys. It's an honor to be a part.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, remind me real quick of that question when we go into the digital side of things. I have a different answer. I don't know why it's different.
Which
it's
question?
Probably the one that Augie just asked, or not the question, the statement that Augie just made.
The one to hear?
About the one.
Yeah.
Because I have a differing opinion on that for video, and it's probably part of the flesh that needs to die.
We will get to that, and we're almost
totally
there.
Cool in live situations when it's the one. When it's at church and it's one person, or it's a one-on-one meeting, it's like, oh, this is totally like everything. You know, this is the will of God for this.
Yep.
We'll discuss for sure. Video in a minute.
Yeah. John says, I'll jump up to this one in a second. He did say, I purposely don't ask when someone's spouse isn't there, asking when they are. And I follow up individually for that exact reason. That's good. Yeah. To make sure that, to me, it's like, I mean, again, focusing on what I'm focusing on, making sure that I'm not doing anything other than that. It's like, I'm going to be about me and what I'm called to do. Mm-hmm. Make sure I'm there. Make sure that that word is at least being presented, because that's what he's called me to do. And if they're there, they're there. If not, they're not. Here's another random question that John gave us. We'll get to real fast. He says, do you purposefully not communicate when you're not going to be the one in the pulpit that day?
What do you mean?
Well, at your church, Jared, are you the only one preaching on Sunday? Because I've seen Sundays where you've had multiple people doing.
That's such a hard. No, I don't know. I won't know on a given Sunday. Think so. We'll have prior to on a rev table. We'll say, hey, I think you've got the message, but in the process of the working out, he may audible me like, okay, well, Dave has the conclusion to this, or there's a word that Jason's going to have to speak into this. But I would say predominantly I'm going to be like preaching. That'll be me.
So let's say you invited a guest minister down.
Okay.
And you're not the one that's going to be preaching. The people, the voices that your congregation are used to hearing on every Sunday in and out, none of them are going to be heard from that Sunday. It's somebody they've never heard before. Do you purposefully communicate that you're not going to be in the pulpit?
Oh, tell them I'm not going to be there?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the congregation. Do you communicate to the congregation?
Like, no. Like, to the congregation, do you say, hey, next Sunday, I'm not going to be here. We got a guest minister coming.
Such a good question. We struggled with this early on because my church is chocked full of pastors and former pastors and theologians. I mean, we are bursting at the – I have a bench. They're better than I am in knowledge and preaching and skill sets. Like they are amazing. They just yield to the word that I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be the chief proclaimer at for this phase in time. But
and so your congregation's familiar with them.
They're familiar with them, and they know how good they are. I'm telling you, I'm not overplaying this. They are incredible, and so I like to use them as much as possible to get them in the rotation, if you will. But there was a period of time in my younger years when I could not communicate, and you've seen the videos of it, where I would lay on the ground and just scream out. I mean, the spirit was there, but the communication, the verbiage, did not come across, and so. That wasn't everyone's favorite, because some people needed, you know, a word, a sermon to come across, and I would emote or communicate other aspects of the Spirit. And so there were people who would decide whether they were coming on a given Sunday based on who was preaching. And so I did not reveal at that time. Now it doesn't matter because of our maturity and our mindset. I think now it's like, that's dumb. Why would you not come when somebody that we're honoring? We're not going to let somebody up in front of you that we aren't enthralled with or honored to have. Otherwise, we just preach and say they can sit down. You know, we're not just filling the pulpit. So I don't think today it would matter as much, but we have done that in the past because people voted with their attendance.
Yeah. Here's what I've found. If it is a guest minister that... If it's a guest minister that most of our people are at least familiar with and we've brought in the past at some point, then I will communicate that. If it's somebody that they're unfamiliar with, or maybe somebody that like I've seen in the past where they just, you know, it's low attendance and we bring this one in and then people don't want to show up for that, I won't communicate it. They're just getting thrown for a curveball and that's it. Because I don't want people to use any of their emotional reasoning for not showing up. And I don't want them to over-spiritualize some justification of, well, I just can't receive from that person. No, you won't receive from that person. You can receive from anything. You can get something out of it. It's like eating. Yeah, I may not like, you know, just to eat a plate full of broccoli, but I can do it. It can happen. I may prefer the bacon and eggs, but you know what? it may not be about what I want and what I prefer. So we're kind of in that where it depends. I typically don't communicate unless, you know, it happens to be somebody that I know we've had in the past and everybody is excited about that person and they got real excited and we got tons of great feedback on them. Then in that moment, yeah, I'm letting everybody know because I want them to move away their calendar stuff and say, oh yeah, we were planning this, but if they're coming in, I'm going to make sure that I'm there. But if that's not the case, then I won't, which maybe is a little weird and almost hypocritical because I'm like, if they're going to be having a negative reaction, then I won't communicate to them on a natural level.
But if
it's a positive natural reaction, then I will communicate to them. Maybe that's just manipulative and maybe I have a problem. I don't know.
I don't know. I think I don't understand why you wouldn't, not you, it just one, a congregant. It's been a while being a pastor for, you know, however many years, 10 years or so. It's like, why wouldn't you? Your leadership has decided to bring somebody in. Yeah, sure. Maybe they're filling a pulpit because the pastor's going to be out of town. My group, that's not a thing. So it's like, why wouldn't you if you don't know them? Who cares? They've decided that this is good. This person's good. This message is good. We need to hear it. That blows my mind. Lots of food for thought on that one, John. Yeah, because we've done it.
I'm going to have to chew that one over a little bit more.
If this was like Casey, so Casey has a gift, a proclamation gift, if there is such a thing, on his life. He just, when he's around folks, he's magnetic and he can speak and like there's something that God's developing in that kid. But he's not there yet. You know, he doesn't have the foundation and he doesn't have the trust of folks. So I wonder if we felt led of the Lord to put him up on a Sunday, I wonder if we would pull our punches and not tell anybody, or if we would celebrate it and say, you know, it's time. Let the kid, you know, God's got a word on his heart. Let the kid go. I don't know. That's good. Yeah. It's good.
Yep. Diana says, mind your own affairs. Sounds like growing a YouTube channel, which seems to be a perfect segue into the second part of this episode where we're talking about not just the empty pews, but how about when we get no views, when we have made the videos, when we have put them out there, when we've taken all this time to record, to edit, to craft this message and to share it with the world. And 24 hours later, it's like being in the DMs and setting on red. Nobody responds. You get one or two views. It's crickets. And then you're thinking one or two views. I mean, well, from my cell phone and then I logged in from my tablet and maybe that was just me.
This is too close to home. I don't like this conversation.
Well, abort. That's good. We like to expose ourselves in a vulnerable type of a way, but a non-offensive type of a way. Thoughts, Jared? It can be discouraging with church setting. Is it equally as discouraging in vlog? Is it more discouraging? Less discouraging?
It's more. It's exponentially more. And here's what I'm just processing this live and raw in front of you guys. But I think it's a part of my flesh that still needs to die. I don't know why I consider them separate assignments. So with the church, I can see the nobility in what we do and doing it for nobody and getting up there and preaching to, I was inspired by that story you gave, you know, like nobody's there. We've all on the nights when nobody shows up, we've preached to the room and been faithful to the Lord and worshiped. And, you know, and there's something about that. There's, I don't know what it is about YouTube and making videos on that. That's very just human, very, what would be the term? Just very nuts and bolts about it. It doesn't seem as holy. It doesn't seem as like I'm here for a purpose. And this is, you know, it is. This is the call of God upon my life to make these videos. And it is. And we talk about that all the time. However, when the results come back in, I'm not as thrilled having put in, you know, with the church side, having met with the different church house church leaders, having met with the leadership of the church and having crafted out what needs to be given, I'm thrilled to death whether 10 or 1,000 show up. But with a YouTube video, I cannot stand it when you put a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, of work into a video, or I don't know, maybe you just shot from the cuff and you did tons of editing and you spent time away from your wife and all the reasons that frustrate you. Yeah. And you hit publish and you've been vulnerable and you're waiting for this magical increase that's supposed to come. That's a rub with me, man. This thing of like, you've been diligent to your work and the only metric you have on YouTube is numbers. There's the whole butts and seats and per capita giving. Are you monetized and do you have numbers? And it's like,
right,
dude, there's when it doesn't come and you're being faithful with the small audience, it's like, it does not have the same allure to me. But I'm maturing in that because I'm getting to meet people. I met Zach the other day, Luke, you know, these people, Diana, these are long-term friendships now. Yeah. Jesse actually won't go on, but Jesse kind of turned me onto that. She's found some like lifelong friends in her Instagram account, just people that she follows and they follow back and they have been engaged in one another's lives. And it showed me that like, oh, these aren't like internet friends. These are real friends. These are real connections. So that's turning me around. But if you're talking about the shallowness of no views, I can't stand it. It bothers me. I keep on anticipating. It's insanity. It's doing the same thing and expecting a different outcome. I'm going to publish this video and it's going to receive, 1,000 views? Is that the magical number that I need that's going to make me feel good about making that video? Is it 2,000 views? Is it 100,000 views? Yes, it is 100,000 views. Is it, you know what I mean? Like, no. And it's, right. And I'm going to log on tomorrow and I'm going to look. And then comparison gets in here. There's so much here. Then right. Comparison gets in where Diana and I will release a video on a similar day and she'll have like 75 views or Joshua, 75 views. And I'll be like, good on them. You know, you get out there and you spread the message. That's amazing. And then I'll look at my account and it'll be like 13 views. And it's like, what? What? Yeah, I'm okay, Lord. I need to be faithful to the ministry that I'm.
Yep.
I don't know what it is. There's a difference there for me. I hate it.
Yeah. And
work to be done for sure.
Yeah. And is there discouragement? Yeah, there can be discouragement in that, especially when, like, you think everything is going good. You keep making the content. You're consistent about it. You're doing what it is that you're supposed to be doing, and you see the steady growth. And then for some reason, an adversary that we want to blame as being the YouTube algorithm drops everything. And it's like, what just happened? Like yesterday, I just posted, you know, I've been doing these daily Bible verse shorts, and I posted one yesterday. And to me, I'm like, it was 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And I'm like, this is the shortest thing. Everything on Reels is saying if you can keep it under 7 seconds, people are going to be looping that thing. And this is like 6.1 seconds because I open up the Bible, pray without ceasing, close the Bible and it's done. I'm like, this is perfect. And everybody is searching for prayer. It's one of the trending hashtags in the Christian communities all the time. I'm like, this is awesome. It's going to perform the best. Nope. It went over like a giant turd. Like that thing got no views whatsoever. And I'm like, really? Have I ran this out? Am I done with it? And then I pull up Instagram today and I'm like, well, now I can see that there's 130 hearts or whatever it was on this. And I'm like, I can't figure out what is what. I can't figure out what the algorithm wants. I can't figure out what the people wants. And then I sit there and the flesh in me is like, but why am I trying to chase after what people want? Mm-hmm. Just because some YouTube expert told me that that's what I'm supposed to do. If I trust God with the message that he gave me and I deliver that, do I think that God is able to reach people with that message more effectively than YouTube can, more effectively than Instagram can, more effectively than TikTok can? Yes. I do believe God is more effective in that. And when you talk about algorithms and they say, well, algorithms aren't like some big, you know, mystery. All it is it's trying to make content that people like and they identify with it. Okay. But is that what I'm supposed to do? Make something they like or make something that they might need? And there's a difference in that. And am I supposed to be making something that I feel or something that God has said? And it doesn't have to be super spiritual. We do vlogs, but it's like, and it's in our day. We're just walking around. But how many times, Jared, have you and I made a vlog that we think has no point and is mostly nonsense, just like these podcasts
every
that we do?
Every vlog.
And all of a sudden, something resonates with somebody that encourages them, that edifies them, that blesses them in some way that we didn't even see coming. Just like on a Sunday when we preach a message and all of a sudden God pulled something out that we didn't even see him pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, yes, the flesh. Yeah, I relate to that. I mean, it happens. Even yesterday I saw it because at one point I flipped over and I was like, I've only got 7 views on this. Like, what? I have 1 more view than I did seconds on it. I'm like, this makes no sense. And it happens. And I think I had a vlog a couple weeks ago that it took, I don't know, a week and a half before it got 100 views. And I'm like, I was used to every vlog getting 100 plus mm-hmm. views. And this one just wouldn't do it. And part of me was like, you know what? I'm digging my heels in. I'm not making another one until 100 people have watched this thing.
I only laugh because it's true. I've been there. Like, wait a minute.
Totally true. I'm not even joking. Once I saw that it hit like 100 views, then I published the next one. I was like, no, I'm going to teach YouTube algorithm. If they don't promote it and give me the views, I ain't giving them another one.
Like,
and then, of course, I did that. I actually did that. And then I had to correct myself and be like, why? Who was I trying to please? What was I trying to do? Am I doing what I'm called to do? As Diana said, am I minding my own affairs or not? And it was a comparison trap. And in that moment, I wasn't even comparing myself to others. I was comparing myself to myself.
To your previous self.
Yeah. And it was like, but I've consistently done this. And that's as ridiculous as I say that now as me saying, well, you know what? I'm not going to preach a message at church until at least 30 people show up. And if they don't show up, but what about the 29 that did? What about the one that did? What about that one, Jared?
No, man. No. If it's one, let's go have coffee. I can say that, and then I can give you tons of examples about one in particular. Jessie wrote a blog forever because she received a prophetic word at a conference one time that one, our relationship, which is why we have the whole channels Jared and Jesse instead of just Jared Brown. It's Jared and Jesse as much as she's in it to accentuate our love, and God was going to minister to people through that. Well, she wrote a blog because part of that was she was going to have a blog. So she wrote a blog for years, faithfully at it with like 12 people reading this thing. Sometimes, you know, that's the high end. That's what you were talking about before. That's like 12 views after it's been out for 6 months, kind of a thing that people stumbled across because YouTube wasn't shopping it. It was, you know, Google or whoever it was. So you're looking at onesie twosie reading this blog, and it's like, part of me is like, babe, just okay, let's let this one go. That was, you know, that's where you get into it. Maybe that was an inaccurate word. Maybe we just need to, you know, let that go. Maybe you're supposed to learn something through that. But I got to talking to people, and people would mention it, like influential people. Speaking about the one, like people who you can't get to that have read my wife's blog, and they're quoting how impactful it was. They're quoting parts of it, and you're like, these people don't listen to anyone about it. They don't need to. They're top of their titans of their industry, and they're reading my wife's blog, the onesie twosies. Anyway, I could tell you a story like that, and I know the truth behind it. But I cannot break the hold, at least into my own flesh. I can't look. If I was to produce a video, which is an ongoing thing right now, Diana, who we're referencing a lot here, Diana, direct address here, Diana, she keeps saying, produce more content. You're a vlog channel. Make more content. I now have the ability with some of my work stuff scaling back a little bit. I have the ability to do that. It's what I'm called to do. It's what I'm supposed to do. I should do it. But I find myself with what you were talking about, Josh, going, nobody saw the last one. And it was, you know, I'm used to seeing a near 100 plus views on my vlogs that I'm putting my heart and soul into. And now I'm seeing like 35, 45 views. And it's a lot harder to, I can put out 1, 2, 3 a week.
Yeah.
But I don't wanna. I want an invisible fictitious number. I know it represents people, but for me and for my own purposes right now, my own stupid humanity, it's like flesh. It's like, dude, just make the video. Do what you're called to do. Release it. All the people that I watch, they release multiple times. Well, not all of them, but the ones that I'm really invested in right now, they're multiple times a week.
Yeah.
I love – they could be making a video about nothing. I'm going to watch it. I don't care how many views they got on the video. I want them to produce another one as fast as humanly possible.
But I don't want to.
Josh, please produce another one as fast as humanly possible.
I'm waiting for 100 views.
But the producer side of me is like, absolutely not.
Right.
Who cares about the one? The one needs to grab 100 of his friends right now. But that number's going to jump as soon as I'm used to 100.
Yeah. And I think there's an important thing for us to maybe even clarify in this. It's one of those that I think we do need to be reflective, and we do need to be analyzing, self-aware. Why aren't more people? So even with a why, and this is where it comes back to the physical ministry. You know, we're asking, well, why weren't they there? If it was something that I did, I can fix that. If I can fix that, if it's something I did, if it's because they don't like me, I can't fix that. If it's because I said something wrong last week and it offended them, I can fix that. I can go apologize and at least do my best effort to repair that. But if it's just, they just don't like me, well, I can't do anything with that. On YouTube, if there's something I can do, then I should do it. So are they not watching me because I'm long-winded and I'm not getting to the point? Is it because I'm boring? Is it because my audio sounds like we're speaking through a tin can? Is it because the video is dark and they can't even see my face? You know, there's things that we can do, but if I've done all I can do to try to improve and to try to present the best, and then the views still aren't getting there, well, I don't care. I'm just going to focus on what I'm doing at this point. I say that. It's harder to actually practice it.
I was going
to
say, are you giving a nugget here? Or
but that's what we're to do. Now, and then when it comes to the one, so here's where this comes back. If I've done what I can do, and sometimes it's just simple. I think Diana talks about this, simple serves. Just keep it simple. Just serve the content out there, something that they can get, something that they can do. Part of it's understanding, what are you trying to do? And while our channels are really, our vlog channels are trying to, you know, encourage people to get them to taste and see the extravagant love of God, if we're trying to do that stuff, what medium are we doing it? Are we doing it from an educational standpoint or more from an entertainment standpoint? And not to say that entertainment can't be educational, because everything in this world is trying to get you to believe something. All entertainment is trying to get you to believe something. Look at the hidden, not so hidden agendas that everything is putting across there. Mm. We, vlogging is more of an entertainment style, but yet we are trying to get you to believe something. We're just not covert about it. We're coming right out there. It's like, hey, this is going to encourage you to live by faith. This is going to get you to experience God's love in a new way. That's what we want to do. I think as long as we're focused, again, same thing with ministry, on what am I called to do? What am I supposed to do? And then I just try to do the best that I can do. I do what I can do. Trust God with the rest. And He will, time and time again, just like He's done in physical ministry, He confirms our call. Like making these little short videos. Why? Why am I doing it? Well, I got a little comment that I want to read to you that you're probably not going to be able to find. But somebody said, thank you. These are the little Bible verse. Like, all I'm doing is reading a Bible. It's something so simple. But I felt like God was calling me to do that. Like, not my face. It's the Bible. Just read the Bible. This guy says, thank you. My mom died recently. She always sent me scripture verses every day, and I've been trying to fill this void. I have a few YouTubers that I've been following. I sub to you too. I love that it is simple, and it is straight from the book, literally. God bless you. Like, this is a guy that has a godly mother that is sending him verses every day. His mom goes home to be with heaven, and he's trying to find something to fill that void. And all of a sudden, not an algorithm, God delivered that message to him. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, man. And that was one of the lower performing videos that I had put out there. But it hit. And I was like, you know what? I don't know where. I don't know why. I don't know how. And I really shouldn't care. I should just mind my own business. I should focus on what he's called me to do. And if I do that, do my best, trust God with the rest. He'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's amazing. Thoughts? Man. Nothing to add really outside of it. He's sneaky like that because there's been, we've talked about it before, but there's been a handful of videos, and I'm sure you've experienced this too. They're a couple years old.
Yeah.
Put your heart and soul into it. Did what you thought the Lord was calling you to do. And in the first couple months, it did nothing. The first year it did nothing, and you're like, what? Just long enough for you to doubt it and go, what? What was it about? And then a couple years later, you get one of those.
Yeah.
You get one of those messages where it's like, I just came to know the Lord, just met Jesus, and I didn't know what to do next, and I turned on YouTube just to try and break and ease my mind, and you came up. You know, there's no search history for. I just became a believer, turned it on, right. And you came up, and it was how to walk with God or whatever it was. And it's like, oh, Lord, never mind. Let me be obedient. Going back to the church model. I'll be obedient. Yeah. I'll do what you tell me to do.
And if I were to give one little final nugget on this from not even something that I got, but something that a dear friend of mine told me recently, don't grow weary in doing good, because in due season, what we're doing, when we're trying to share our faith in whatever format, in whatever fashion you're doing, whether it's in physical ministry, whether it's in digital ministry, if you're trying to encourage people in some fashion to have a closer relationship with God, don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't get weary. You're doing good. Anyhow, how about we get to some comments and then we'll wrap this one up.
Sounds good.
All right. Augie says, I'm with you on video. You want as many as you can get to see the message. And then he was talking about when he was preaching, we purposefully don't communicate with people that they're senior pastors there. And I found that a lot in a lot of churches are kind of doing that. If it's somebody else that's on staff, they typically won't. If it's somebody they're bringing from out, they might just kind of hit and miss. John was saying primarily when I'm going out, going to be gone for the weekend or on vacation, less than three times a year, we'll have an elder or somebody preach that day. So let's see. Diana Gladney. Make sure you're checking her out if you're wanting some help on how to simplify video production. She's doing a great job out there. Low views mean something different on my main channel versus my vlog channel. Main channel, I'm questioning, am I operating on the true pain points? Vlog channel, I don't care because it's not relevant to my goal.
That's a conversation in and of itself, Diana, because there's something to like having... I love you, first of all. There's something to having built a what I would consider a monstrous channel and then playing down here. You know, I would say if you just had, you know, call of God on your life for video simplified and you're getting after it and that was your only deal, which it is sometimes, you know, that's what you're taking incredibly seriously, and the life or death of it, the minutia you're involved in, and then you have your vlogs that you don't care about. I feel like you would take this channel kind of like what you're saying. I don't care. I do what I want. I'm documenting my life because I had this monster behind me. I wonder, would you feel differently if, Josh, if you had 100,000 subscriber tech channel behind you and then you vlogged on the side because it was what the Lord wanted you to do? Would you take that? Do you feel like you would? Do you think? We couldn't know. We're just pontificating here. I get it. But would you feel like you would take it differently? Like you would it'd be so monumental, the vlogs that didn't perform?
No. Well, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because, like, to me, vlogging is the passion. Like, to me, the vlog format, like, and I've heard Trey Van Camp talk about this, how, you know, King David is the OG vlogger. I actually say, it actually might have been Moses, because you can go farther back, and he wrote the first five books. So it's like he was writing about his journey, especially that Exodus journey. And it's like, and that's just because it spoke to me. But you look at what they did. They documented their journey living for God and living their lives. And to me, it's like the vlog medium, the format of just going out and kind of sharing your life. It's more of a passion, and it's not something I realize. Now, if I had, you know, Diana's, what she's kind of saying, low views, it means something on the main channel where she is, you know, she's trying to really help people with more of the video production side of it. And yes, I would sit there and I understand what she's saying. I'm questioning, am I operating in true pain points? And I would question that too. I would still want to know why, just even like I do on the vlog channel, why is there not a response? Right. If it's because of me, like if I'm even on a tech channel, if I'm supposed to be, if I felt God was doing that, am I supposed to be helping people and they're not responding? Am I actually helping people? Or am I helping them with what they're actually wanting help with? And that's where, if it's me, if there's something I can do to fix this, then do it. If not, well, then I won't. You know, it's just like I don't care. Now, I say I don't care, but I dig my heels in until it gets 100 views. I ain't doing it. Which Diana's laughing and saying, dig those heels in. It's okay. It's only a kick to ourselves.
That's so true. That's so true. Stop it, Diana. Yep. Stop
it's
it.
It's true. She's saying, yep, simple serves. Simple serves. So, anywho, Jared, got any parting words on that?
I don't. I have a rumbling around idea, thought for perhaps a video for another time. But have you been impressed with, you were saying, understanding what video does what, and if you're the one who is the problem in the video? Sometimes I think I can't process my videos that way. I don't know what went wrong. I don't know what happened. But something I found that's interesting is that my audience can. They know exactly what's going on. For instance, John is onto something about my videos that it's greater than he even knows. And I don't know how he knows. I don't know. He's been able to break my stuff apart, my content apart. And it's like, dude, how do you recognize that? Like where I maybe have a certain style in editing or filming and change it up a little bit. And my wife can't even tell the difference. And John says, hey, what'd you do there? Hey, what is that? I don't know if I like that or not. And I'm like, explain to me what you saw that, you know, not even my wife saw. And he breaks it down. It's like, oh, clever girl.
So is this something that we're going to use as a topic for next week, or do we need to flush this out a little bit and maybe bring it the following?
We'll flush it out. We'll flush it out a little bit.
All right. Well, then I guess in that case, hey, we just want to thank y'all for being here. Next week, make sure to join us. If you want to join us live when we go, it's every Wednesdays at 10:30 a.m. Central Time. Next week, we are going to be talking about another question that came from Charles Nicken saying, to clickbait or not to clickbait?
Oh,
that is next week's question. So we hope to see you here. And until next time, stay blessed. Enjoy God's best. Have a fantastic week.